In an effort to detract from bad press about dead reporters, Saudi Arabia has a brand new gin tourism industry.
Though Diyala's past victims are definitely still dead, the investigation into how has been reopened.
Bruce Campbell saw a UFO. Maybe.
And Harvard professor Avi Loeb is doubling down on his theory that an alien spaceship may have flown past our planet last year. I'm Kelly, along with Byron and Sam. It's February 8th, 2019, and it's been a weird week. So, fellas, ghosts sell big, or at least the Saudis think they might.
And not just in the box office.
No, although, yeah, there as well.
Well, people are stupid for ghosts.
Right. Well, and interestingly, the Saudis are looking for a lot of international tourism with this one, too. So there's this area in Saudi Arabia. They are trying to turn into a huge tourist attraction. Okay. It's actually a partnership with the French. It's like some cultural partnership.
Well, what's the attraction? I mean, Saudi Arabia is like a beautiful culture and history, but what's the
ghost
attraction?
The ghosts. Yeah.
It's just got like a, rent a ghost? Or
well, no.
Like
so
a camel? Or?
There's an area that has supposedly been haunted for a long time with jinn. So let's at least use the Saudi Arabian term, right?
For people who don't know what a jinn is.
It's a ghost.
Okay.
Like just an evil, just not, like, not a nice guy.
It has other cultural implications, I'm sure.
But mostly Arab and Islamic folklore.
Right. Yes. This area is called Madain Saleh, I believe. It's these gorgeous rock tombs that are carved out of red sandstone. I don't know if you've seen pictures of Petra. They're parts of this area that look a little bit like Petra, and it was actually created by the same kingdom, I guess, that created Petra. So,
which predates Islam in the area. It's a very aged society.
Super aged, probably alien, though we haven't gotten into that yet. But people were buried there, and for many, many, many years, up until very recently, and in fact, for a lot of the Saudis continuing on, people think it's haunted and have been told to keep out. There's a story in the Quran about this area, and I think a lot of the superstition traces back to that. But Sam, do you want to talk about the story from the Quran? Just because I feel like you have more familiarity with it than Byron or I.
So I guess the shortest version actually theoretically dates back to Muhammad himself. One of his hadiths, or a hadith, which is a saying that's attributed directly to him, that more or less warned against going inside any of the buildings of these holy places unless you are already crying. You know, the implication there is, like, if the dead are there, unless you're mourning.
Stay the hell
the
out.
Dead.
So, right.
Yeah.
Okay, but then there's actually, like, a story in the Quran about this place. So, according to what I was able to find, in 3rd millennium BC, this site had already been settled by the tribe of Thamud, which I have no familiarity with. Sam, you got any insight on that, or no?
No.
No, okay. All right, that's fine.
Sorry, I don't, I mean.
No, I mean.
They carved the structures into the rock, and apparently, according to the Quran, this tribe fell into worshiping idols, and a lot of them became oppressed. There was a fella by the name of Salih, who apparently this place is named after.
Salah.
Thank you. Salah. He called the Thamudis to repent. They said, screw you. You want to prove to us that you're actually some prophet? Make this female camel appear from the back of that there mountain.
And from behind a mountain.
Yeah, from behind a mountain.
That there mountain. Their grammar was terrible.
Yeah, even translated. So a pregnant camel pops out from behind the mountain. They still didn't take him seriously, so they ended up killing the sacred camel instead of caring for it like they were supposed to. And the baby apparently either crawled out of her stomach or was already born, but then ran back behind the mountain. So these people were given 3 days before their punishment was set to take place, since they didn't believe and didn't heed the warning. So Salah and his followers, who actually believed in what he was trying to tell everyone, left the city. Everybody else was there, stuck, punished by God. Quote, their souls leaving their lifeless bodies in the midst of an earthquake and lightning blasts. So these are some of the souls that supposedly.
So it's like they opened up the Ark of the Covenant and then stared directly into it.
Sounds a whole lot like it. And this may sound like ancient, spooky stuff that probably hasn't been around in a while. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. 2015, guys. A girl's school in the area had to actually shut down because parents were so worried that their daughters had seen and in some cases been possessed by jinn. There's an interesting article about it in the Saudi Gazette, in fact. They had to bring in the Ministry of Education to investigate, and the parents were asking to relocate the school as soon as possible because apparently its proximity to this area was causing all sorts of hauntings for the very scared young women at the school.
It's possible those parents just had never raised pubescent children also.
Yeah, that's actually very true. They're very scary. It's a spooky place.
Yeah, and Kelly, you're not part of the Saudi Arabian Tourism Board?
No, I'm not.
Okay, just making sure, clarifying even.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely trying to get out from beneath some bad press, guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they killed some really, really important reporter guy.
Jamal Khashoggi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Big deal. And interestingly, that whole Crown Prince bin murder face guy is behind all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Rumor has it.
Well, not just behind the murder, but also behind this fancy gin tourism spot.
Oh.
Yeah. He's been trying to take celebrities and other Western famous people on dune buggy tours around the area.
Okay.
When I got to the bottom of this story, I realized that it's all just a ploy to try and get people to buy into this giant mega city that he's building along the Red Sea. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Sam, you probably have heard about this.
You had me a little bit at gin, but hook, line, and sinker at dune buggies.
Dune buggies with Crown Prince bin murder face. Absolutely. $500 billion this mega city is supposed to cost. And he's trying to get everybody all fired up about it. And I'm sure he's having more obstacles with most people after recent events.
I just imagine New York City when all the ghosts and Ghostbusters came out.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Is that what he wants?
I mean, maybe.
Because it was almost a big party a little bit, but then it was kind of spooky.
Spooky as well.
Yeah.
The most frightening part of this whole story, it's a concert venue as well, and it featured a concert with a hologram performance by Umm Kulthum, who is like...
Who is that?
Are you joking? Is this real?
No, this is real. Terrifying. She was like Egypt's national treasure. She was a singer from the 50s for several decades.
She's still alive?
No, she's not still alive. It was a hologram.
So they're trying to...
Oh, so it's like... Kulthum.
They're Tupac.
Did they bring Tupac in too?
They did not bring Tupac in.
Well, wow. That would have sold it. I think a lot of people questioning the area over the recent murders would have been really... You know.
I think it's a statement to how impressive technology has become.
God, that's really creepy. How many people were there for the concert, do you know?
It doesn't say.
Like, it goes so far as people that are being interviewed in the area about it won't even talk about it because they're worried that even speaking about the spooky area is going to jinx them and make the djinn come after them.
I think they're probably scared that speaking of it is going to damage tourism and then get them disappeared.
Right. Then Crown Prince comes after them. Yeah. He's really not a nice fellow, but he apparently loves his dune buggies. So... Yeah, that's the ghost corner for the week, guys. Well, you got anything interesting?
Well, I thought we solved this one, but it looks like...
We or I?
Well, I mean, I was next to you while you solved it.
I did the heavy lifting on this case.
It looks like the Russian Prosecutor General's office has finally reopened the case known as the Dyatlov Pass incident.
Oh, that was where all those skiers fell off the chairlift, I think, right?
Close.
Something like that?
For those that don't know, on January 23rd, 1959, which is almost 60 years ago, a team of 9, 2 women and 7 men set off for a ski trip. Their 16-day itinerary aimed to cover 190 miles. And to cross the Ural Mountains, but only one returned because he had a heart problem.
That sandbagging saved him.
A search party was formed, and several days later, they found a tent. It had been abandoned and sliced open from the inside. While the camp was deserted, the hikers left all their belongings and shoes.
Yeah.
When they discovered the bodies, they had been spread out around different sites. There was signs of severe internal trauma, injuries similar to what you'd see from a major car crash. One was even missing her eyes and tongue.
She was just in St. Agatha's Convent then, apparently.
Oh, you're talking about the film. Yeah, snipping with the scissors out now. Others show traces of radiation. Half the bodies were naked or wearing each other's clothes. And this is not some sort of spicy night in a tent.
No.
I would imagine they were just grabbing what they could. And there was no object in the vicinity that could have caused any of this to happen. Of course, Kelly, you cover this in an episode of Cryptids and Conspiracies. You proposed a handful of theories. There have been 75, though, according to the prosecutor, put forward things like psychosis due to audio frequencies of the wind.
Infrasound.
Mm-hmm. Aliens.
Obviously aliens.
Well, military testing. Another suggests that they were killed by members of the Mansi people for whom the mountain was spiritually symbolic. They called it the Mountain of Death?
Yeah.
Or the Dead Mountain.
I mean, either one. Same implications. It's okay.
Absolutely. Spooky mountain. Stay off it. But no one has come up with a definitive cause of the deaths. And in a press conference this week, a spokesman for the prosecutor's office revealed a 400-page
what
volume of original case materials.
Which is cool because, I mean, it was pretty well hushed up by the Soviet government.
Someone named Audrey Kuryakov told a news conference that investigators were relying on the help of, quote, friends and family of the deceased, as well as modern technology, which was not available at the time. It's about time.
I agree. But I'm not buying that it's anything non-high strangeness as an explanation. I'm just throwing that out there immediately.
You're going to be disappointed. I mean, next month, prosecutors are going to fly to the site. Prosecutors are sending people to the site.
I was going to say the lawyers aren't going themselves. Come on now.
They got suits and ties to keep nice. They're going to bring a bunch of experts and rescue workers that are going to take part in this investigation. 9 different examinations, including a forensic probe, which will help fill in, quote, a number of blank spots.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe.
Still don't understand what their thoughts are, though.
Well, they're only considering the possibility of 3 options here. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get the resolution you're looking for. They're saying it's going to be either an avalanche, a snow slab, or a hurricane.
Okay, so none of those things explain a missing tongue, missing eyes, leaving your shoes behind, people wearing other people's clothes.
So the skier that was found without her eyes and tongue and face stuff, she was actually face down in a stream that was flowing subsurface under the snow.
Okay.
And it was actually running water.
Fish.
Yeah, exactly. That could have been, probably was very indicative of the typical kind of decay if someone is submerged in water for a long time.
Oh, the soft things go away quick.
Yeah, but still, people running around without their shoes, the tent being sliced from the inside.
They were having a sexy ski party.
They were not having a sexy ski party. And in other people's clothes, I mean, nothing. No. That's just dumb. I'm willing to accept the military testing thing. And in fact,
well, the radiation.
Right. I'm willing to say freaking crazy Russian news media is being forced to come out with a once and for all conclusion here to make sure that nobody thinks the Russians did anything bad. Because obviously, if it wasn't aliens, then it was military testing of some sort.
Most likely. I mean, it's tough because we I even played some of the audio of this infrasound frequencies and how it's supposed to kind of disorient you.
Did it make you take your shoes off?
I did get fully nude and ran out into the snow.
Okay.
But I had my headphones on and it pulled me right back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Thank God for headphones.
But I mean, you're right, though. It could explain people kind of going crazy in an extreme case and being disoriented in the night in the middle of a bunch of snow, waist-high snow. But it doesn't explain the injuries that occurred, you know.
Right.
Their bodies were crushed. Their rib cages were crushed. Skulls were crushed, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's...
We'll never know what happened.
Well, it was military testing, really.
Well, I mean, does anyone know about hurricanes on mountains?
No. It sounds completely made up.
Made up.
A snow slab falling on all of them?
Right. And while it's falling, it's like midair and they can see it coming down. And it's kind of like one of those scenes from Ice Age with the squirrel.
Yeah, he ran
and off while they see it coming down, they're like, quick, take your shoes off. Let's trade clothes.
Can't run in the air.
The Scooby-Doo run.
In an avalanche, they found the tent. It wasn't buried.
Yeah, stupid.
But there was evidence that some of these people had attempted to climb trees, even to the point where their fingernails were peeling back.
Right, which... Oh.
What could be scaring someone that much? I don't think military testing could be scaring someone that much. What else could it be?
Well, it could be military testing in the sense that there were some things out there that were very scary.
Oh, you're talking about genetic testing, maybe.
Genetic testing or, you know, some of those really fun stories we talked about from the Iraq War where there were some creepy monster weird things in the middle of nowhere. Remember those stories?
I do. And of course, there's that movie that came out this year about the testing on the Nazis.
Yes.
Overlord,
yes. Yeah. I still haven't seen that.
Haven't seen it either.
Anyhow, clearly we're not going to get the truth out of this one, so that's a bummer.
It's interesting, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the same.
Not going to know.
Well,
this was particularly interesting to me, given some recent events in my life. Bruce Campbell, who you probably should know from many, many things, but...
Yeah. All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. See this? This is my boomstick.
Most recently, Ash versus the Evil Dead, which is
gone too soon.
Too soon. Great show. He was appearing on a podcast. It was actually some friends of his who have this podcast. And he was evidently looking out his window and saw an unexplainable white in the sky that he he said it was warbly, I believe was the word that he used.
So this was a warbly thing that appeared directly above the mountains. It looked like it was coming at me, but it didn't have that. It didn't have the elevation, didn't have the altitude of a commercial flight.
Oh, wow.
We do get weird crafts. I mean, we do have, you know, schmoes just piloting their individual crafts over the mountains, just dicking around. You have drug runners. You do have weird guys in ultralights are around here. But so this thing popped up, and it was a white light. It wasn't the commercial red repetitive type of light. And it would look like there was a little bit of diffusion, like it was a heat lamp was under it. It's that wavy, it was a little bit of a wavy diffusion.
Yeah.
So, and it kind of seemed like it was moving, but it seemed like it wasn't. Like it was coming at me. So it was harder to tell how far away it was. So
right.
Started doing that thing, and I looked at it and go, God, I think I've seen that before. I used to, I've written a couple of books out here, and we're rural Oregon. It really is. There's no lights on the mountains. There's no civilization. And right over me is the California border. So there's not much going on up here.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the setting of that. It's about dusk. So while I'm looking at this light, talking to this person, going, that's a weird warbly light. What is up with that? Behind me in the foyer of the house, there's two entrance lights, both on separate switches, separate dimmers. And one of them goes down to about half, like a brownout. Goes down to about half.
Okay.
Goes back up. And then the other one goes down by about half, and then back up to full. Now, if the house was doing a brownout, the whole house would have done that.
Everything at the same time.
Everything would have done it at the same time. Those two lights are not on the same control.
Oh, wow.
Individual controls. So they would have normally, if they were connected, would have both gone up and down together or whatever, you know.
Right.
Sometimes the electrical circuit get timed together. In this case, they were operated completely separately, and I felt that there was some weird correlation between that thing and those lights acting weird. I turned back around, the light was gone. I didn't see it take off or, you know, do some dramatic exit. It was just gone.
That clip was from the Oddity Files,
wow,
a podcast dedicated to the creepy, cryptic, and otherworldly.
Sounds like somebody's plagiarizing us.
So everyone who does weird things copied us.
Yeah,
all of you.
We started that.
This was interesting to me because Bruce lives in Oregon.
That's right.
And I recently, last fall, took a picture of something that I could not explain. Three lights in a triangular formation, which...
Over the ocean, right?
Over the ocean, yeah, which listeners of our show have already heard, but I'm not saying what it was. It was just... It was a picture that I could not explain how those lights got there. Who knows? But, you know, that really struck a chord with me that Bruce, who is not like a woo-woo guy. Like,
no, he's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it doesn't really ever talk about that kind of stuff. Some of the reasons that I think people usually have for sightings is because they want to be important. And that doesn't seem like...
And are you saying he's already important or that he doesn't want to
be important? No, I'm saying like he has a track record of not caring about putting himself into the limelight all the time.
Sure.
Where in Oregon did you say this was?
In the Siskiyous.
You want to tell me in
mountains?
Like normal terms where the hell that is?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Oh. Well, and also, I think I get added respect to people who see things that aren't necessarily looking for things. I mean,
oh, so does that mean if I found something, you wouldn't
would
respect
you
me?
Less. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing you could see, like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You could bring me an alien's arm.
I'd say, I don't know where you got that.
Grasping the remote control starter to the spaceship, and I would not believe that it was real.
It hates you.
Well, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Bruce sees more things.
And I hope we see more Bruce.
Oh.
Yeah. Do we know what he's up to in the near future by any chance? Anyone?
It looks like the only thing Bruce is doing right now is a show called Lodge 49.
Hmm. What's that about? Sounds like a Freemason's expose.
Well, Dud finds himself deposited by fate at the doorstep of Lodge 49, a dusty fraternal order that offers cheap beer, in strange alchemical philosophy.
I wasn't even... Oh, my God. I was right. This is. It's a weird Freemasons show.
It does. I mean, maybe.
That sounds Freemasons-y to me.
Sure.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Well, apparently the wheels of justice turn a lot faster up north.
Everything turns faster up north. Brain cells...
Human dignity. Turn? What are you talking about? Former human dignity?
I'm just saying, more dignified humans north.
Former lawnscaper and Canadian serial killer Bruce MacArthur has been given a life sentence after being arrested last January for the murder of at least 8.
Ugh.
Yeah, he sexually assaulted, killed, and dismembered the men he met in Toronto's Gay Village district over 7 years. Police narrowed a list of suspects for missing men after seeing surveillance video of the last victim, a guy named Andrew Kinsman, enter a red Dodge Caravan in 2017. They later linked that vehicle to MacArthur and found Kinsman's blood and semen in it.
Well, hard to deny those ones.
MacArthur, now 67, moved to the Toronto area around the year 2000.
The year 2000.
All right, that's a little... Come on, Sam. And previously lived in a suburb where he was married, raised 2 children, and worked as a traveling salesman of underwear and socks.
Who?
Still made their living doing that, like in the last 100 years?
I guess, up until the year 2000.
Well, they're all serial killers, is what
they... Have you guys ever seen Death of a Salesman or read it?
Did he sell socks and underwear?
No, I don't know what he sold.
Well.
But it was really sad. It made me feel bad for all traveling salesmen.
Yeah, I mean...
Except for this one, I don't feel bad for him. He seems real bad.
Terrible man. He wasn't just a salesman of underwear and socks. He was also at least once a mall Santa.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
His landscaping business was small, but he periodically hired workers, kind of like John Wayne Gacy did.
And sometimes they disappeared.
Well, at least one did.
God!
A 40-year-old man who disappeared in the year 2010. Soon after his arrest, more than a dozen fiberglass garden planters from the yards of some of his clients arrived at the Ontario Forensics Pathology Service. The planters were frozen solid because, remember, this was in January of last year. They were left to thaw. After sitting 10 days, they started emitting a foul odor.
No.
Dr. Kathy Gruspear, who worked at the Ontario Forensic Pathology Lab, after x-raying them, sawed the planters in half, revealing a human head, torsos, and limbs. And from the fingerprints and dental records, they were able to separate 7 sets of remains.
So he killed way more than 8 then. If they've been able to trace remains from 7 already?
It's really tough to say. The police, I mean, they did start a task force to focus on the missing gay men in Toronto.
But they didn't acknowledge that there was a serial killer active until they absolutely had to.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if it had been an affluent, non-minority community that this was happening in, how quickly there would have been action taken.
Mm-hmm. Police found many photographs of the victims on his electronic devices, a prosecutor said last Monday. MacArthur carefully planned his killings. On his computer, they found file folders of his 8 victims containing photographs of each of them. Many of the photos were taken after their deaths, with the bodies of 6 of them in fur coats with props like cigars in their mouths.
Oh my God.
It's awful, and it honestly seems like in this case, it was a lack of interest in law enforcement's behalf that let him get away with it. It wasn't any super genius serial killer mojo that he had. Like, he made just tons of mistakes and plenty of opportunities to be caught.
I mean, hiding the limbs of your victims in the planters of your clients.
I mean, is he really stupid, too? Because you would think, of course that's going to eventually come out. Bodies rot and smell bad.
Yeah. I don't know. They found a 9th folder that contained images of a man the police found when they came to arrest Mr. MacArthur. He was found by police bound to a bed with a bag over his head, but otherwise unharmed.
He was alive.
Several of the men Mr. MacArthur killed were Middle Eastern. At least one was facing deportation after not being accepted as a refugee in Canada. Last Friday, he pled guilty on all counts, and in Canada, a first-degree murder conviction brings an automatic sentence of life in prison with no chance of parole for 25 years.
Hmm.
No death penalty in Canada.
Judge John McMahon recognized his guilty plea and said it was highly unlikely he would ever be released on parole. Quote, although Mr. MacArthur has taken responsibility of his actions, there has been no evidence of remorse.
So creepy.
All of the victims were vulnerable individuals. The accused exploited their vulnerabilities, whether immigration concerns, mental health challenges, or leading secret double lives. Some of the victims were homeless and had drug problems, so... He preyed on his friends. He preyed on the vulnerable, said prosecutor Craig Harper. Yeah, I mean, I guess we're done for now with Bruce MacArthur.
I hope we're done forever. You know what drives me crazy about these serial killer stories? It feels like they get the notoriety that they always want. That's why I love when, what was it, Australia wouldn't let the name of
It was
mass...
the shooter in the...
Yeah, they kept all of that under wraps so that the guy didn't get publicity for all of the horrible things that he had done.
Yeah, after the Port Arthur massacre.
Right. You know, I like those Aussies. They do a lot of things right, they do. Mm-hmm. Bugs and deadly animals, not so much. But mm-hmm. other things, they do well.
Yeah.
Drop bears.
Well, thank goodness this monster can no longer terrorize the LGBT community in Toronto.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
My gosh. Well, the other thing, and this is a story that's been going for a while, you guys, but I love it when big news sources cover things that I care about. Like,
you're talking about the mainstream media?
Well, I hate that term. I'm not going to use that term, but... I do love Oumuamua, the amazing flying spaceship that everybody's been talking about last year.
Oumuamua.
Yeah, and the chairman of Harvard University's astronomy department was one of the people who came out saying, yeah, I think we should investigate whether it's a spaceship and not just assume that
Whoa. What is this?
Oumuamua?
Yeah.
Okay, this is an incredible...
asteroid.
No, space object. Well, mm-hmm. See, Sam is already claiming to know more than the chairman of the astronomy department at Harvard, which, no surprise there, Sam. A little bit egocentric. The reason it was curious is because of its shape. It was unlike asteroids or comets or other naturally occurring bodies in space are typically shaped. And it came by our planet last year.
Was this the cigar-shaped asteroid?
It
was. Yes, mm. Twas. It wasn't an asteroid. Okay, this is a guy who knows more than anybody we've ever met about astronomy. And he's standing firm. So obviously he's caught a ton of flack from people, not just idiots like you two, but colleagues.
He's also been completely discredited.
No, he hasn't. He's still holding the position as chairman of the astronomy department at Harvard. He has not been discredited.
John Mack worked for a long time in the psychology department of Harvard after he had gone crazy.
I'm not talking about working. I'm talking about being the head of, okay? He is not saying that it is aliens. You have to understand that.
Good.
And of course, that's what headlines love to claim. He's just saying... He doesn't believe we can rule that out, and we need to investigate it as a possibility. And the fact that scientists are willing to so immediately, without any reason, dismiss that possibility is very, very frustrating to him and to me. So he and I are kind of on the same page here. He's simply saying it is one possibility that Oumuamua might have an artificial origin. This is what he says. Considering an artificial origin, one possibility is that Oumuamua is a light sail floating in interstellar space as debris from an advanced technological equipment, which makes perfect sense too.
Light sails, that's where they use the power of the sun, almost like someone would use a sail in the ocean with wind.
Right, but it's not like he's the only one who's claiming this. There are other scientists, other reputable scientists who have jumped on board with this, and I think it's an interesting discussion to have. He is simply saying, let's discuss it, let's not just rule it out, which is what a scientist should do. I think it's brilliant.
He's also a masterful self-promotionist.
Well, the other thing that you should know is astrophysicists in particular are known for putting out really wild theories to get discussion going about something. In fact, Stephen Hawking did this on many occasions.
Neil deGrasse Tyson
just likes to yell at everybody. Well, he is, I mean, don't get me wrong, the guy's cool, but his ego is like, oh god, it's really unbearable.
I hate how he's right about everything. That pisses me off.
Yeah, but the
much.
Problem is he isn't right about everything. He has really interesting theories, just like many other scientists do, but especially in this area of science, you're not going to be dealing with fact. All you're dealing with is theory, and mm-hmm. if you can back your theory up with scientific evidence, then that's fabulous, and that's exactly what Mr. Loeb is doing. So I wish that you'd get off his back. This brilliant fella, Avi Loeb, he hosted an AMA on Reddit on February 1st. Highly recommend you guys go and read through the heavy string of commentary. Sam, I would bet that lots of his responses will make you understand that he is not a quack. He's not discredited, and he's not just out to get attention. He's talking about some important things.
Well, I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah, we will have to see, but the point is, you're sounding like all the idiots that thought Galileo was stupid and didn't know what he was talking about.
He wasn't stupid, he was a witch.
I gotta tell you, there was a lot of other witches saying a lot of different things back then. That witch was right.
Well, the point is, All scientists who have made revolutionary discoveries have been called quacks at the time, and I feel like Loeb is the next in the line for that. Sam, prepared to eat your words in your next lifetime. Pretty good week in terms of weirdness, guys. I think there was some interesting stuff going on. We'll see what happens next week. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the month, which is... Is it leap year this year?
I don't know.
Do we have an extra day?
I don't know why that matters.
A bunch of weird stuff is supposed to happen in leap year. Leap year is supposed to be like huge high strangeness.
Well, maybe that'll come up next week.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
But until then, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam.
Have a weird week.